doing, CCV? We good? Good. Good to see you. My name is Todd. I'm a pastor from Southern California, and it's just great to be here with you today. And I just feel like I need to ask you, as we're heading into this Thanksgiving week, is there anybody who feels even just a little bit thankful for what God is doing in their life? Anybody? Can we just give God some praise? Come on now. Lift him up here. Way to go, Peoria. All right, way to go. What about out in Surprise? Anybody out in Surprise? You give them some praise? I think I hear you. I think I actually do. Scottsdale, anybody from Scottsdale? The newest campus. Some of you have forgotten where you are. Okay, good, good. Now listen, I'm so glad to be here with you this weekend. And we're continuing this series we've been in called The Story. And The Story, as you may know, is just like the Bible in novel form. So if you've been thinking, you know what, I would really like to read the Bible, the whole Bible at some point in my life, this is a great way to do it. It's easy to read and it's easy to understand. Now, if you've been away for a week or two from CCV, or maybe even you're just visiting one of the campuses for the first time this weekend, or maybe you're watching online for the very first time, let me just take a moment and bring you up to speed with where we are in the story. We studied the era of the kings. There were 38 different kings over a period of about 200 years. Some of the kings were really good, and they honored God. Most of the kings were really bad. They did not honor God. And so went the king, went the kingdom. It was actually a really tumultuous time for most of humanity. After that, we've started studying the era of the prophets. And as Pastor Don mentioned just a few weeks ago, the prophets are kind of like God's early warning system, right? The prophets come onto the scene and they start telling the people, you better turn away from your evil, you better stop your sins, you better seek God, or he's going to punish you severely. Now, we've studied the prophet Elijah, we've studied the prophet Isaiah, and today we come to the prophet Jeremiah. So let me just kind of tell you a little bit about what's going on during the days of Jeremiah. The people in this day and age had basically decided to quit trusting God's plan for their lives. Sound familiar at all? Now, these people had decided to follow themselves and their own plans and their own gods that they'd made with their own hands. I mean, it sounds a little silly, but these people were even going out and finding rocks and painting faces on them and worshiping the rocks. Or they were getting pieces of wood and they were carving faces into the wood and they were worshiping these pieces of wood instead of God. And because of this, God allowed their whole city to just be devastated. And he allowed all of these people to be carried off into captivity and into exile for like 70 years, several generations. In fact, if you have your copy of The Story here with you today, would you open it up to page 243? Page 243, we see just a graphic description of the judgment that comes upon these people because they had turned their backs on God. They wanted to do their own plan. Page 243, kind of near the middle of the page there, it says, on the seventh day of the fifth month in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. And he set fire to the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and all of the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building was burned down. The whole Babylonian army under the commander of the imperial guard broke down the walls around Jerusalem. So get this picture in your head. These folks turn their backs on God. God brings punishment to them and just completely devastates their city. Now, we obviously don't have a photograph of Jerusalem being burned and devastated, but for the last couple weeks, I've been studying this and preparing to come and be here with you, and I've seen these images on the news over and over that kind of remind me of this. Take a look, actually, of this one on the screen. This is some of the fires that happened after Hurricane Sandy came through in New York. It just kind of completely destroyed just hundreds and hundreds of houses and whole neighborhoods there. I want you to get this image in your head as we continue to read here
the bottom of the page 243, this now is what the prophet Jeremiah says as he is sorrowful about this city that's been destroyed. The bottom of the page, how deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. He's talking about these people who turned their backs on God. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one to comfort her. All of her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. And all who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The Lord has done what he planned, and he fulfilled his word, which he decreed long ago. He has overthrown you without pity. He has let the enemy gloat over you. He has exalted you with the horn of foes. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. This is good. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait on him. Friends, even in the midst of complete destruction and this all kinds of punishment that God brings to these people, his love and his mercy remain. In fact, one of the big ideas here today would be that even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. Even when we decide to turn our backs on God and do our own thing, God still remains faithful to us. He's always, even when the circumstances are tough, he remains faithful. This is very clearly seen, actually, in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. If you have a Bible here with you, or it's also in your notes, I believe, today. The Lord, it says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back. Would you say those three words with me out loud? Bring you back to this place. Man, that is so key. If you have a Bible that you underline things in, underline that. If you have notes that you're taking, underline that in your notes to bring you back. The reason God allowed all of this punishment wasn't to somehow pay them back. It was to bring them back. Huge difference, right? All the exile, all the devastation, all the punishment wasn't somehow to get even with them and pay them back for their sins. It was to bring them back to him. Now, this makes huge sense to us today, because the truth is that every single one of us at some point or another has turned our back on God. We've decided to just kind of do our own thing for a little bit. Maybe for you, it was just one night where you said, God, tonight I'm going out and you're staying home. Right? You ever been there? And on that night, you did things that you even wish to this day you hadn't done. In fact, maybe some of the biggest regrets that you have in your life stem from that one night. Or maybe it wasn't just a night. Maybe it was a few weeks, or maybe it was months, or maybe it years, or maybe it was decades. But the fact is that all of us have a season, whether for a moment or for a month, that we have kind of turned our backs on God. And friends, listen, I know so many people who I talk to who really, really believe that God is up in heaven right now, just like so angry with them, just waiting for that perfect moment to pay them back for all the sins that they've committed. Maybe actually that's how you feel today. I mean, if you were honest, you would say, yeah, because of some of the things I've done, or maybe even because of some of the things I'm doing right now, I just kind of feel like God is up there just waiting for that perfect moment to kind of get me to kind of pay me back. And I would just want to say to you today that, listen, no matter what you have done, no matter what you are doing, God's goal is not to pay you back. It's to bring you back to Him. And because that is true, at times, God will allow very difficult circumstances in your life. Some of you are in those circumstances right now. But please rest assured that God's intention is not to somehow pay you back. It's to bring you back to Him. In fact, the huge truth that we can learn from the prophet Jeremiah is that no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, God wants to bring you back to Him because He has these incredible plans for your life, for your family, for your career, for your friendships. He has these incredible plans that He just doesn't want you to miss. In fact, that's what the next verse says. Look down in your Bible if you have it with you or in your notes. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, a lot of us have probably heard that before, and maybe if you think anything like I think, it's kind of like, God, I'm glad that you know the plans for me, but how about if I know the plans? Right? You ever get that way? It's like, I'm so glad that God is so smart and He knows all the plans for my life and family and career. How about if you let me know them? And you ever get there where you're like, God, I don't know if this is your plan or not, but I feel like I'm supposed to go to this college, but is that just me or is that really your plan? God, I really feel like I'm supposed to marry her or I'm supposed to marry him, but is that just what I want to do? Is that just what I feel? Or God, is that really your plan for my life? God, I really feel like this is the moment where we're supposed to take a risk and start this new business and start this new company, but is it just what I want to do? Or God, is this really your plan for me? Friends, I want to tell you today, at all the campuses, God's plan for your life is not like the spiritual equivalent of a needle in a haystack that only some really lucky people find, like pastors who stand on stages. God wants and desires everybody to know His specific plans and purpose for their life. And for the next few moments today, I'm going to do my best to help you discover that. Again, if you have your notes in front of you, I want you to realize that when the Bible talks about the plans of God, or whenever you're reading the Bible and it talks about the will of God, it almost always falls into one of three different categories. First of all, you have the providential plan of God. And then you also have the personal plan of God. And then you have the moral plan of God. And I want you to notice, if you can, there that God's personal plan for your life is kind of sandwiched in between His providential plans and His moral plans. In other words, if you want to discover God's personal plans for your life, for your family, for your marriage, for your finances, you kind of have to get inside the guardrails, if you will. You see these guardrails I have here with me today? You kind of have to get inside these guardrails of God's providential plans and God's moral plans for your life. That makes sense? Let's take a moment and unpack this. Let's talk about this first guardrail here for a moment. And let's let this be God's providential plans. When the Bible talks about the providential plans of God, it's talking about things that God has already decided to do. These are not dependent upon your faith. They're not dependent upon your obedience. Like in Galatians chapter 4, it says that it's God's providential plan that Jesus would come to earth. We didn't vote on that, right? Did any of you vote on that? No, it's just what He's going to do. In Psalm chapter 22, it's God's providential plan that Jesus would die on the cross. In Revelation chapter 19, it's God's providential plan that Jesus would one day return. In Revelation chapter 20, it talks about it being God's providential plan that we would be judged for our deeds. These providential plans of God are like a guardrail, and they're not dependent upon your faith. They're not dependent upon your obedience or whether you want them to happen or not. These are things that God has just determined, I'm going to do this stuff. You need to learn this because it's what I'm up to in the world. Now, let's allow this other guardrail over here to be like God's moral plans for your life. All throughout Scripture, we see God's wisdom for our lives. These are like His moral guardrails, His moral plans on the way He would want us to live our daily lives. It's all throughout Scripture. Let's just look at a few in Proverbs. Chapter 12, Proverbs, it tells us that we should speak the truth. Proverbs chapter 20, it says that we should avoid gossip and deceit. Proverbs chapter 27, it says that we should live humble lives, not arrogant lives. Proverbs chapter 29 says that we should live under control, that we should avoid anger. And all throughout the Bible, again, we have all kinds of different kind of like moral guardrails, moral plans that God has for us in our lives. And what I want you to discover today is that if you want to know God's personal plans for your life, His specific plans for your life that He knows, it's kind of, you have to get inside these two guardrails and become more familiar with the mind of God and become more familiar with the heart of God. And then that helps you understand the specific plans of God for your life. But you know what happens a lot of times? You know what we do? I'm sure actually none of you do this, but you probably know people who do. We say things like, God, I really, really, really want to know your plans so I can consider them. Right? Isn't that what we do to God? God, if you would just tell me your plans, I promise you, I'll consider it. And I just think God says, that's not the way I work. In fact, I love what Pastor Andy Stanley says. He says, God doesn't give us His direction for consideration, but for participation. Isn't that good? God doesn't give us His plans and His direction for consideration, but for participation. But yet, I'm constantly talking to people, having coffees with people, talking to folks on Facebook, talking to people on Twitter, who are constantly having trouble discovering God's personal plans for their lives. And what I have realized is the reason a lot of people have trouble discovering these personal specific plans is because they are also willfully living outside of God's moral or providential plans. And I would just say to you today, I hope this will make sense to you, especially with these guardrails here. If you are searching for God's personal plans in your life, but yet you are willfully living outside of His guardrails morally, it's not only improbable, but it's impossible to find God's plans for your life in here. Let me illustrate it like this. Let me move outside just the guardrail here of God's moral plan. So if we're living in here is where we want to be passionately living, not perfectly, right? Because we're never going to be perfect. We're going to make X's out here. But there's a big difference between occasionally making an X out here and willfully living out here. But let me just, for illustrative purposes, say that we are just living here, but yet seeking His plans. It's been about 6 or 8 months ago. And I had a couple in their probably late 20s is about where they're at, and they are wanting to get married. And so they are so excited, and I kind of know this couple, not super well. I've met them a few times, and so they made an appointment with me, and they came, and we sat down in my office, and the guy was just talking like 100 miles an hour. He was so excited, and he got into this whole story about both of them had lost their jobs, and they didn't have much money, and they were going to have to get kicked out of their apartments. And so God had given them this incredible plan. What they decided to do is just pool their money and move in together to this apartment. They could save a ton of money, and then a year or so later, they could get married. And he was so excited about this plan that God had given them. And then he made the mistake of asking me what I thought about the plan. And again, honestly, I don't even really know this couple very well. But it was easy for me. I knew this could not possibly be God's specific and personal plan for their life because they were living outside God's plan for their life morally speaking. You see, here's the thing, friends. To be seeking God's plans when you're not wanting to obey His commands just doesn't make sense. To seek out God's plans when you're not really even trying to obey His commands just doesn't make any sense. You see, it is living in obedience to the providential and moral plans of God that lead to insight into the personal plans of God for your life. And when you get inside these guardrails, the more you learn about the mind of God, the more you learn about the heart of God, the easier it is to discover His personal specific plans for your life. And again, it's not that we don't make X's out there and live outside His guardrails sometimes. but it's a difference between living out there willfully. Well, you say, well, how do you know that? How do I know if I'm living in there? How do I know if I'm living outside? Here's how you know. You know if you have sin already on the calendar. If you already have sin marked on your calendar, then you know you're probably living out there. If you already know, hey, another few days from now or another week from now, I already know I'm going to do this, then guess what? You need to be really thinking about where you're living. And you're not going to be perfect at it, but you need to be passionately living inside the plans of God that you already know. And then when you get in here, here's what you do. I want to give you three takeaways today, three questions that you can ask, that your friends could ask, that your kids could ask. Anybody who's trying to live in here can ask these questions to determine God's plans for their life. It doesn't matter if you're thinking about buying a car, or maybe you're thinking about buying a home, or maybe you're thinking, should I date him, or should I get engaged, or should I get married, or should I get divorced? Any of these plans that you're trying to figure out, ask these questions. Here's the first one. Have I taken time to pray, or am I just rushing into things? Have I taken really some time to pray about this, or am I just rushing into things? Friends, let me tell you this. If God is in it, it can wait a minute. Isn't that right? If God is in it, it can wait a minute. Somebody here in Peoria, say amen. Somebody out in Scottsdale, say that's right. I think I even heard you. Somebody over there in Surprise, say you know. There you go. See, if God is in it, it can wait a minute. But here's what happens so many times, doesn't it? So many times we say, you know what? If I don't hurry up and buy that car or marry him or marry her, I'm going to miss this opportunity. But if God is in it, I promise you, it can wait a minute. And what you probably need to do is just slow down. You need to get away. Maybe take a half day off work. Take a half. Some of you are saying, you said it. Pastor said it. Pastor told me. He said, take a half day off work. You take a half day off work and just get away. And spend some time in quiet, spend some time in prayer. And I promise you, during that time, I've seen it over and over in people's lives, I've seen it in my life. I promise you, during that time, God will deepen your convictions about a certain course of action that you're praying about. Have I taken time to pray, or am I just rushing into things? That's the first question. Here's the second question. Do my friends and family agree, or do they think I'm being foolish? Do my friends and family agree, or do they think I'm being foolish? In the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, it says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Now, I know there's always going to be people who think you're foolish because you're doing certain things, especially if you're following after God. There's always going to be people who think you're foolish. That's not what this is talking about. What this is saying is the individualist, the person who doesn't think they need any advice from anyone, they're a foolish person. And you know, friends, you know this. When you're sharing something with somebody, you know in your mind if these people I'm sharing this with are really good advisors to me. You see, what happens is a wise person seeks out advice from people and, catch this, actually listens to it. Yeah, that's the key there. And actually listens to it. A lot of times what happens is we keep seeking advice until we find the advice we're seeking. Isn't that true? And again, I know that none of you would ever do this, but you probably have a friend who's done this. You ever have a friend who wants to get a coffee with you and just lay out everything that's going on? And so they lay out this whole thing of what God's doing, and it comes down to the end of like 30 minutes, and you look at him and go, you know what? I don't know. I don't think this sounds right at all. So what do? Thank you so very much. And then they turn around, they drive right to another friend's house, and they lay out the thing with him and say, you know, I just talked to somebody. They were so unspiritual. They were absolutely clueless. And so I wanted to come to you, and I wanted to talk to you. And they lay out the whole plan with that person. And then maybe that person says, well, I don't know. That just doesn't quite sound right. And so what do? They go to 5 people and 6 people and 10 people and 15 people, and finally they find someone who agrees with their plan. And they say, I knew it. I just knew it. I knew this was God's plan for my life all along. You know, listen, you and I, we have to be willing to listen to advice, even when it is not the advice that we're seeking. Do your friends and family, do they think you're foolish, or do they agree with this? Do they think it sounds good? That's a good question to be asking when you're trying to live inside these guardrails. Here's just one other question. that you could ask when you're really trying to, again, you're not doing it perfectly, but you're learning the mind of God and you're learning the heart of God and you really want to know what he wants you to do with your life or a move or an engagement or whatever it is. Here's another great question. Does this plan agree with Scripture or contradict it? This plan that I've come up with, does it agree with the Bible or is it opposed to it? Let me tell you this. God's word will never contradict God's will. It just won't. In other words, what I'm saying is God is never going to direct you to do something or go somewhere or be something that he has already spoken against in his word. And so you know what that means? This is huge. Don't miss this. That means if you are here and you really want to know God's plan for your life, maybe you've been around CCV a long time and you've been trying to find it. Maybe this is your first weekend on a campus. Maybe you're just finding CCV for the first time, but you really want to know God's plan. Here's the best thing you can do to find God's specific plan. You just completely saturate yourself with Scripture. You just completely saturate yourself with the Bible. Because I promise, the more familiar you become with God's word, the more familiar you become with the mind of God and this guardrail, the more familiar you become with the heart of God and this guardrail, the more it will pave way to you understanding the specific plans and purposes for God in your life. And by the way, do you want to know God's greatest plan for you? God's greatest plan for your life is that you would accept his son Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Out of all of the things that he might want for you and you might want for yourself, that's the greatest thing God wants for you. God gave his son Jesus to come and live and die and live again so that anyone who calls on his name could be saved. That's what Romans in the Bible says. Anyone who calls on his name can be saved. Maybe today you want to talk to a friend. Maybe you want to call one of your friends. Maybe if you're on one of the campuses, you want to go out to the info center and find one of the neighborhood pastors or somebody to talk to about accepting this Jesus into your life and what that means. God's greatest plan. One last thing, one last takeaway. No matter what you have done, no matter what you are currently doing in your life, I promise you, God's goal is not to somehow pay you back. God's goal is to bring you back to him. Because he has these incredible, incredible plans for your life that he just does not want you to miss. And so he wants you to come back and begin to discover those plans. Agreed? Great. Let's pray. Yeah, let's give God a hand for that. We can give God a hand. They're his plans. Let's pray together today. God, thanks so much for just being who you are. And God, I love the Bible because I love how in Jeremiah and what you're doing with those people and how you're not just trying to pay them back for stuff, you're trying to bring them back to you. I love that because it's the same thing you're trying to do with us today. In all the difficult things maybe we go through, God, you're just trying to get us back to you so we can follow after these great plans you have for our lives, for our family, for our kids, for our marriages. God, I pray today that that would really click in our minds and we would want more than ever to understand your plans. God, thanks for today. Thanks for the half an hour or so that we have to study your word together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.